Good morning. Let's begin. All right. So today's daf is daf dalid. Again, really exciting day ahead of us. Exceptionally exciting day. So the Gemara says the following. Yochel. Yeah. So Stender's first, and then that's Mamish. All right. So we left off. Gimel Amud Beis. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16. Wow. 17 lines up from the bottom. Whoa. Okay, so it says the Gemara. Yochol shani mar ba'av sheish arayos chamuros me'ilu sheyut sarosei masuros. So Rabbi say, remember again, so we're talking about over here what the number of the Mishnah comes to exclude and what it comes to include. So if you remember again, the Gemara is now suggesting we spoke about Rav and Ravasi. The Gemara is now saying, perhaps, again, I would also include the six arayos. I'm going to say, in the Mishnah, in just a couple of blot, we will go ahead and get to another six women who are paternal relatives, who are also arayos to the individual, to the Yavam. So I might have thought, we're not going to go through them now, but I might have thought that we should also include them in this principle, that if they are married to someone, they should also go ahead and ask their co-wives, to which the Gemara says, Amrit ma'ochos ishto miyuchedes shihi erva, v'chayavin al zedona karis v'al shigagas achatos asura. So just so again, I will say, what we keep going back to is that ochos ishto, the wife of one sister, is the paradigm for all of these relationships. So just like the wife of one sister, intentional relations with her are karis, unintentional, chatos, and she's permitted to the other brothers. However, she's prohibited to the Yavam, vitzaras asura, and she prohibits her co-wives. That creates the paradigm. Af kol shi erva, so to any woman who's an erva, v'chayavin azadona karis, v'ashegas achatos, whose intentional relations are chiv karis, unintentional chatos, v'efshar li nasei la'achim, and she's permitted to the other brothers other than the Yavam, v'asura li'yavam, tzaras sa'asura. That is the kind of woman who goes ahead and prohibits her co-wives. Yotzu sheish arayos chamuros me'ilu. This comes to exclude these other six women that we'll learn about in a later Mishnah. Since they are not permitted to marry the other brothers, because you will say they are paternal relatives. So because they are paternal relatives, they are prohibited to all of the brothers. Therefore, tsaros sehen mutaros. Therefore, their co-wives would be permitted. She'ein tsara ella me'ach. Because ultimately again, the tzara, right, the arayos that we are speaking about in the Mishnah have to have the ability to go ahead and marry the other brothers besides the Yavam, which the women in the next Mishnah cannot. Fine. As hara shamana. So we'll say, now what we firmly established is the prohibition to go ahead and do yibum with a woman who is an erva. So remember again, where did we establish that from? Very simple, it all goes back to what? Achos ishto. Achos ishto, wife, sister, that becomes, remember, the gzer shava of aleha, aleha, achos ishto, aleha, yavam, yibum, aleha. So we establish again the prohibition to do yibum with a woman who's in erva, ultimately from achos ishto, and we establish the fact that prohibition extends to the tsaros, to the co-wives, because the Torah uses the plural lashon of litzror. Okay, so now that we've established that Lamaisa, there's a prohibition, the Gemara says, Onesh Minayin, what's the punishment? What is the punishment if you do Yibum with one of these women? To which the Gemara says, Amar Kra, Ki Kol Ish Asher Ya'asemi Kol HaTov Osa Elu V'Nichrasu. So I'll say the Gemara answer is, Karis. Because the Pasuk speaks about, again, once you're into the Parsha of Arayos, so Lamaisa, again, many of the Arayos themselves are punished by different things, but in this particular case, it'll be a punishment of Karis. Says the Gemara, Taima de Kasav Aleha, Halav Hachi, Hava Amina Achos Isham Yavem. So I'll say, now we get into a very interesting discussion. So the Gemara says, the whole reason why this is Aser, right, why Yibum is Aser with an Erva, is because of the Gzer Shava of Aleha Aleha from one's wife's sister. One's wife's sister. Had the Torah not said that, we would have said that what? That you would have done Yibum even with your wife's sister. Now, why? What would be the logic of that? Actually, Seth Rotenberg said this on the first daf. So the answer is my timer. Da'aminon asiyase v'dachilosase. Very simple, Rabbi said, why? Because we have a principle that a positive commandment has the ability to override a prohibition. Right, prohibition. So, for example, so therefore, again, in this particular context, there is an asay, there is a positive commandment of Yibum, and it should set aside the losase of marrying your wife's sister. Meaning that if, again, if my brother is married to my wife's sister, my brother dies, so, and then his wife falls to me in Yibum, even though she's my wife's sister, the Aseh, the positive commandment of Yibum, should go ahead and set aside the prohibition of marrying a wife's sister. So the Gemara says the following, Emar Darmin Aseh Dachi lo Saseh Greda, lo Saseh Sheish Bo Kares Midachi. Rabbi says, even if you subscribe to the idea that an Aseh has the ability to set aside a lo Saseh, perhaps I would say that that only applies to what we'll call a regular lo sase, a regular love. But who says that naseh could set aside a prohibition that carries with it a chiv karis? Right? Is there such a thing like that? To which the Gemara says, v'su, furthermore, lo sase greide minal on the dachi. I will say, first of all, how do we know this concept? This is a very interesting sugya. How do we know the idea that in naseh, that a positive commandment actually has the ability to set aside a prohibition? I mean, the Gemara said that concept, but where do we know that from? Also, listen to this, top of Dalit. This is great. Dichsiv, lo silbash shatnis, gedilin taselecha. I will say, why? Because the pasuk says, you shall not wear shatnis, wool and linen together. Mm-hmm. And then right afterwards it says what? Tzitzis, gedilin taselecha, which I will say teaches us what? If you look at Rashi, lo silbash shatnis, v'samech le gedilin taselecha, v'darshinon smuchin, v'sharinon kilayim b'tzitzis, Ami asi am alma asi aseve dachi los ase. So we'll say, we will see later on that lamaisa we darshan, right? We darshan the juxtaposition of these two concepts of shatnez and tzitzis to teach us what? That although you're not allowed to wear shatnez, but you can wear what? You can wear tzitzis that are shatnez. Aye, but how can you wear tzitzis that are shatnez? Because the ase of tzitzis will come along in what? And set aside and trump the lo sase of shatnez. So the Gemara says, "V'amr Rabbi Lozer." Now, both I remember that drasha presupposes that you darshin smuchin. Now, both I darshining smuchin means that you feel that the Torah is not a not that you feel that it's felt that the Torah goes ahead and is not a random organization. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts certain psukim next to each other, that was purposeful. And the purposefulness of that is reflected in the fact that you can darshan juxtapositions, why certain things are put next to the other. So therefore, you know, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the fact that tzitzis comes right after shatnez tells us that tzitzis overrides the prohibition of shatnez, and that teaches us the paradigm that nasei is docha lo saseh. Vam Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar says, one second, smuchim min ha-tarmina, how do you know this idea that you can darshan, that you can learn out from juxtapositions? Now, I will say, this is actually very interesting. Shene'emar, smuchim la'ad li'olam, asuyim be'emes v'yashar. Those things that are close remain for eternity, and are made or created with MS, with truth, and with correctness. I suppose that's actually interesting. So Rabbi Elazar is quoting a pasuk from Tehillim, because David HaMelech essentially says, when I've looked at the Torah, I've seen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wisdom is such that he purposely put together certain psukim. So it's interesting, and we'll come back to this, that Rabbi Elazar is learning out the concept of biblical exegesis from a pasuk in Tehillim, which is just interesting. We'll come back to that. So, we do paskin like tzitzis like that. Yeah, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but yes. But yes, we do. So if you want to wear, it's uncommon, but technically speaking, if you wanted to be the shatnez tzitzis guy, right? I mean, everybody's got to have a thing, you know? So if you wanted to do shatnez, the answer is yes. The answer is yes. So I don't think you're ordered from Shamsis. So I'm Rav Shish, I'm Rav Elazar, Mishum, Rav Elazar ben Azaria. Minayin li yivam ha-shenaf lo lefnei mukashchin. Now also, we're going to give another example of smuchin. So how do we know that if you have a yivama that fell before mukashchin? I will say, this is the following case. So brother dies, leaves his widow, and his surviving brother mukashchin. I will say, mukashchin is a person who's afflicted with boils, a very unattractive, unappealing individual. So how do I know that if their surviving brother is exceptionally unattractive and unappealing, she'in chosmin osa, that we do not compel the widow to do yibum? And I will say, chosmin means muzzle, literally muzzle. So how do I know that if the yavam is just objectively unattractive, that we don't try to push the woman to do yibum? I will say, listen to this, she'ne'emar, lo sachsom shar bedisho. Rabbi say, this is amazing. V'samich lei, ki yeshvu achim yachtov. Rabbi say, because there's a juxtaposition of psukim. Torah speaks out the idea that you may not lachsach some sharbadisho, you may not go ahead and muzzle your ox when it plows the field, right? And then right afterwards, it speaks about the parsha of Yibum. So when you darsh and smuchin, why is that pasuk next to the other? I'm sorry?
We don't do this darshaning.
Don't no, this is actually a good drasha. You just have to know how to explain it. Right? Like most things in life, it's in the delivery. Right? But I will say, no, what was actually very interesting, what the Gemara is saying is the fact you might have thought that under all, now obviously I will say it's clear, you can't force a woman to do Yibum in the same way that you can't force a woman, at least in Judaism, to get married. So when what we might have thought that perhaps when it comes to Yibum, we try to pressure her to do Yibum. After all, again, this is the chesed she could do for her deceased husband. So essentially what the Gemara is saying is, how do we know that there are cases where you don't pressure her? If it's objectively just a bad idea, just a bad, for what, now here the Gemara's example is because he's physically unappealing. But the truth is, we'll see later on that this applies to other cases as well, where it's clear to us that the surviving brother is just not the right spouse for this woman, or she feels, or we feel it. So how do we know that, again, that we don't compel her? Because just like we don't muzzle the ox, we don't muzzle the woman. Meaning we don't go ahead and mute her protestations about this, but rather we take her reservations into account and ultimately, again, do not pressure her to do the Yibum. V'am Rav Yosef, that has nothing to do with our topic. The Gemara just brought that down as another example of darshaning smuchin. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yosef, hafilu man delo darish smuchin ba'alma." Rav Yosef says, "Now we're going to see not everybody darshan smuchin. Not everybody agrees in this exegetical approach to looking at text. But even those who don't darshan smuchin, listen to this: the Mishnah Torah darish. Rav Yosef in Dvarim." Everyone agrees that you can darshan smuchin. Then I will say, why is this important for us? Because again, the pasuk of shatnez and sittis, which is serving at least as the paradigm for asay dachi lo saasay, is where? It's in Devarim, it's in Kiseitse. Right? So at the end of the day, so the Gemara says, Daha, Rabbi Huda ba'amalo darish, because we know Rabbi Huda normally doesn't darshan smuchin. Now I will say, now what does it mean you don't darshan smuchin? It just means you don't agree that it's an exegetical principle. That remember again, if you'll notice, by the way, Rabbi Shmuel HaYomer, B'shlosh Esrei Midos, Hatorna Dresh Esbohem, there are 13 exegetical principles. If you notice what's not in that list, smuchin, right? Because there's a machlokes about smuchin. There's a machlokes as to whether or not you look at the juxtaposition of psukim, and if you can learn out relevant halachos based on those juxtapositions. So the Gemara said, Rabbi Huda normally holds his mesorah is that we don't darshan smuchin. However, uba mishnah Torah darish. But Rabbi Huda holds that in Dvarim we do go ahead and darshan. We darshan smuchin. We'll see why that is. So the Gemara says, "Uba ama minan dolav darish." How do we know that Rabbi Huda doesn't normally darshan smuchin? This sign here, because we're in the Braisa. Ben Azai Omer machashefa lo sechaya. We'll say, what's a machashefa? Machashefa, not right. I'll leave the jokes aside. Right, so a sorceress. Right, so again, the machashefa. So the Torah says you're not allowed to leave the machashefa living. You have to go ahead and kill the machashefa. So the Gemara says, "V'ne'emar kol shoch even behema mos yumas." Also, someone who engages in bestiality is put to death. So the Gemara says, "Samchu inyon lo." So I will say it's interesting that the Torah juxtaposes the issue of machashefa, the sorceress, with bestiality. Why? Mashuch even behema beskila. Just like if somebody engages in bestiality, the punishment is skila. That's written explicitly in the pasuk. Af machashefa beskila. So we'll say the interesting part over here is, remember, the punishment for bestiality is explicitly written in the pasuk. The punishment for the sorceress is not. So the first opinion says that lamaisa what? The juxtaposition teaches us that just like it's skila for bestiality, it's skila for sorcery as well. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, v'chim epnei shesamchu inyon lo, notzi zel eskila. I don't understand what you're talking about. Because, again, happens to be that the machashefa is next to the bestiality, you're going to go ahead and stone the sorceress. Meaning, how do you know that? You have to have something a little bit stronger than that. I'll tell you how you know the punishment of the machashefa. Ela ovi yidoni b'chlam machashefim hayu. Rather, again, the ovi yidoni, so ovi yidoni are also other individuals who engage in sorcery, more specifically focused on communicating with the dead. So we'll say, when the Torah says machashefa lo sechaya, that would include all forms of sorcery. Right? So why does the Torah feel the need to single out ova and yidoni? V'lama yatsu lahakish lahem. To create a comparison, v'lomar ma ovi yedoni b'skila. So I'll say the difference over here is by ovi yedoni, the Torah explicitly tells us that they are put to death by skila. So why does the Torah single them out? To create, that they should create a punishment paradigm. Just like the ovi yedoni who engage in sorcery are punished with skila, af machashefa b'skila, so to the machashefa skila. So I'll say, interestingly enough, Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda gives it to Rabbanan, namely that what? Namely that lemaisa, the machashef was put to death by stoning. He just disagrees with what? As to how it's learned out. According to the Rabbanan, it's learned out based on smuchin, smuchin to bestiality. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's learned out from a hekish, from a comparison to Ov and Yedoni. So they want to say, Mishnah Torah Milan the Darsh. So how do we know that even Rabbi Yehuda, who normally doesn't dash in smuchin, in Mishnah Torah will dash in smuchin? And Dvar, by the way, Mishnah Torah is another name for Dvarim. Tisnan, because we learned, no se adam anusas aviv umefutas aviv. Anusas bino umefutas. Well, this is an interesting case. A man is permitted to marry a woman who was violated by his father, or who was seduced by his father, who was violated by his son, or was seduced by his son. Meaning, because I might have thought that, again, there is a prohibition to marry my father's wife, even if she's not my mother, to marry my father's wife. So I might have thought that that applies to any woman with whom my father has relations with, to which the Gemara now says, no, not the case. If a woman was seduced or violated by one's father or by one's son, a man is permitted to go ahead and marry that woman. Rabbi Yehuda oser ba'anusas aviv. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's usher, that to marry the woman who was violated by one's father is usher. Rabbi Yehuda oser ba'anusas aviv umefutas aviv. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you are not permitted to marry a woman who was violated by your father or seduced by your father. V'amrav gidol amrav, my time with Rabbi Yehuda, what's Rabbi Yehuda's logic? Tichsiv, lo yikach ish es eishes aviv, v'lo yigaleh knaf aviv. So because the Torah says, you may not take the wife of your father, nor may you go ahead, literally, v'lo yigaleh knaf aviv means literally, you may not uncover the corner of your father. So the Gemara says, so Rabbi Yehuda dashens that, knaf shera aviv lo yigaleh. Literally, the robe that your father saw, the corner that your father saw, you may not go ahead and reveal. So almost like knaf, so the corner of the robe seems to be a euphemism for relations. So the robe, meaning the woman that your father saw, that your father saw, that your father was with, you are not permitted to be with. You may not uncover. But how does Rabbi Yehuda know that is referring to a woman who was violated by one's father? So the Gemara says, because listen to this, because Rabbi Yehuda says right before this section of lo yikach ish as eishes av lo yiganes knaf av, what does it talk about? Talks about the laws of if a man violates a woman. If a man violates a woman, how much money he has to pay and what the punishment is. So the, essentially, smuchin. So right before the Torah says the laws of violating a woman, and right after that, the Torah says this phrase of lo yigale knaf aviv. And Rabbi Yehuda darshan smuchin is in Devarim, and therefore he says that prohibition refers to a woman who was violated by one's father. V'rabbanam, and so why don't Rabbanam darshan smuchin? Ihav asamich leikid kamrit. If those psukim were really juxtaposed, I would agree. But they're not juxtaposed. Why not? Hashta delo samichle v'chsev lo yikach ish es eishes aviv bein sayim b'shameres yavam hakasav medaber v'la'avor alav v'shnei lavim. So we'll say the Rabbanan say like this, Rabbi Yehuda, that's not a true case of smuchin. A true case of smuchin is what? Where two psukim are literally right next to each other. Rabbi Yehuda, remember again, here in the Torah you have the section of a man who violates a woman. That's section one. Then the Torah adds in there what? Lo yikach ish es eishes aviv. You may not marry your father's wife. And then afterwards it says, v'lo yigale es knaf aviv. You may not uncover the corner of the robe that your father saw. So we'll say, here's the problem. That phrase, lo yigale es knaf aviv, is not what? Is not juxtaposed to the section of the man who violates the woman. Why? Because there's another pasuk in between there. Right? There's another pasuk that tells you can't marry your father's wife. That pasuk interrupts the smuchin. Therefore, the Rabbanan say, you can't, Rabbi Yehuda, you can't darshan smuchin in that case because the psukim themselves are not really juxtaposed. There's another pasuk interrupting. But I will say, the point of, so according to the Rabbanan, what does v'loi galis knaf aviv, what does that refer to? That refers to Shomeras Yavam. Rabbi Yehuda, that refers to the following case. If a man has a father, and the father's brother died, so the man's uncle died, and he died without children, and now again, the father now is ready to do Yibum, a son may not go ahead and have relations, essentially with his aunt, with the woman ultimately again, whom his father is ready to do Yibum. you'll say to yourself, that's usser anyway, right? Again, a father's brother's wife is an erva anyway, to which the Gemara says, v'la avar lav b'shnei lavin. You're right. But if you do it, you're not only in violation of one lav, you're in violation of two lavin. Okay. So we'll say, the point over here is, even though the Rabbana argue with Rabbi Yehuda, what comes out of here is that Rabbi Yehuda darshins smuchin in Dvarim. So the Gemara says, "V'mishnah Torah, my time did darish." So we'll say, so why is Dvarim different? So for 4/5 of the Torah, Yehuda doesn't darish in smuchin, but yet in Dvarim he will. Ibois aim mishum de muchach. So the truth is, one possibility is that it's called what's called muchach. So we'll say muchach. Rashi says muchach lemidroshinu ahadadi samchinu. So muchach means that it's apparent by the nature of the juxtaposition of the psukim themselves that they're meant to be darshened. Meaning, as Rabbi said, remember, interestingly enough, one of the fascinating things in Devarim is what appears to be the haphazardness of some of the juxtapositions. Meaning, remember, because Devarim, to a certain degree, is a free flow of what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, right? But at the end of the day, it's not as mesudr as the previous books of the Torah, which seem to follow either a narrative or a progression of conveyance of Jewish law. So it could just be muchach. Muchach just means it's obvious that it's there to be darshan. The other possibility is Rabbi say it's mufni. Now, what does mufni mean? Mufni means it's open, which means that Rabbi say the reason why Devarim is called Mishnah Torah is why? Because there's a lot of repeat, right? There's a lot of repeat in Sefer Devarim. So it could be the fact that it's repeated is there not necessarily to teach us the laws, but rather, or not necessarily teach us explicit laws, but what? To teach us the laws via the juxtapositions. So the Gemara says, "E by saying Mishnah the Muchach." So let's analyze each of these options. If you want to say we could darshan smuchin in Mishnah Torah because it's Muchach, it's obvious. The imkin lechatchila lekasvei Rachmana gabi arayos lichtavei Rachmana gabi arayos. Because we'll say, for example, let's take this case that we just spoke about before. Lo yigale knaf aviv. Rabbi will say, now the shaila is, what is that doing in Devarim? Remember, the truth is, the real parasha of arayos is where? Is Achrimos, right? We just read it on Yom Kippur. That is the real parsha. That is the real parsha of Arayos. So put it in Vayikra. Why are you putting it over here in Devarim? It must be what? It must be because we want to darshan the juxtapositions of the Psukim. And other possibilities, we darshan smuchin in Vayikra, excuse me, in Devarim because it's open. Di'im kein, lichtov rachmana lo yikach ishes aviv, lo yigale knaf aviv lamali. Because I will say, the truth is, you can ask a very simple question. Why do you even need that last phrase? Lo yigale, why don't you just say, lo yikach ishes aviv gamarnu. Good, that's it, right? Can't marry your father's wife. Why do you need that last phrase? Don't uncover the corner of the robe that your father saw. Shmamina la'afnuye. Rather, that's coming what? That's coming in order to open up a pasuk, you know, create an extra phrase for drasha purposes. Okay, so Bosai, see, here's what we have so far. So we have so far is, number one, first of all, again, do we darshan smuchin or not? Machlokes. Machlok is found between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. But even Rabbi Yehuda, who will not normally darshan smuchin, will darshan smuchin where? Where? In Devarim. Which Rabbi Yehuda, bless you, is good news for us. Because remember, just keep sight of everything. The reason we're in this discussion now is because the Gemara wanted us to suggest, which Seth, this was your question on the first day of this Masechta. The Gemara wanted to say that were it not, or your statement, I should say, were it not for the gzera shava from one's wife's sister, from Eshes, from Achos Ishto, I am going to thought that Yibum is mutter even with an erva. Why? Because asi asei v'doche los asei. Because the positive commandment of Yibum should set aside the prohibitions of the erva. And therefore, again, the pasuk teaches me that even though I would have thought that way, we don't say that. So that led the Gemara to discuss. By the way, where do we know that asei dochi los asei? How do we know that a positive commandment can set aside a prohibition? And the answer was from where? Tzitzis. From tzitzis, right? And again, remember, again, the juxtaposition of tzitzis to shatnez teaches us that even though it's a prohibition of shatnez, you could wear tzitzis that are shatnez. And now what we've established, we'll say, but that drasha only works what? If you accept the premise of smuchin. But now again, what we're saying is it's okay, because even if you don't normally accept smuchin, everyone agrees that you dash in smuchin where? Where? In Dvarim, right? And the good news is that the pasuk from Tzitzis is in Dvarim. So therefore, again, we could create a paradigm of asei dachi lo sasei based on the juxtaposition of Tzitzis and Shana. It's a really fascinating limud. So the Gemara says the following. V'gabi Tzitzis nami, and I will say this drasha by Tzitzis, I boy seima mishum demuchach, There are two possibilities also as to why we can darshan this. Either because it's obvious, or because it's open. I will say, what does that mean? Let's analyze these two possibilities. Remember, the primary parsha of Tzitzis is where? Is in Chumash Bamidbar, right? In Shlach, right? So again, why are you just flinging Tzitzis right over here, right? Why are you waving Tzitzis around in Devar? It's not the parsha. So the fact that it's written over here, I'm sorry? Oh, so the fact that it's here indicates to us that it's here for a drasha. So the Gemara says, why is it here? It must be here. Why? For drasha purposes. The second possibility is because it's open. The pasuk said, a garment of kilayim, of a forbidden mixture, shatnez, shall not come upon you. Lo silbash shatnez lamali. So both say, if the Torah already tells me that a beged kilayim, a garment of a forbidden mixture of shatnez, is not permitted to come upon me, then why does the pasuk have to say again, lo silbash shatnez? Why do you have to repeat that phrase, you can't wear shatnez? Shmamina laafnuye. It must be for what purpose? Why is that extra phrase there? That extra phrase there is for drusha purposes. Rabosai, specifically to create a drusha with tzitzis, to say that it's a beged shatnez that you can't wear. You can't wear shatnez, but you can wear what? But you can wear tzitzis that are shatnez. To which the Gemara says, no. Hani mitrach trichi. The truth is, Rabosai, these phrases are like lo silba shatnez, and remember that last part the Gemara is picking up on is the first question. The Gemara is trying to bring a proof that you could dash in smuchin over here in Devarim. So proof number one is, well, why else are you putting tzitzis over here if the primary parsha of tzitzis is in Bamidbar and not Devarim? That's number one. Number two is the parsha of shatnez itself is repetitive. Why? Because again, it says beged kilayim shatnez lo ya'ale alecha. You can't wear a beged of shatnez, and then it also says lo silba shatnez. Why do you need both of those phrases? It's only for one purpose, which is to make a drasha. To which the Gemara says, no, those two phrases by shatnez are both necessary. Tzrichi, why? Di'ik, listen, is very interesting. Di'ikas of Rachman Allah Ya'ale Alecha, because had the Torah just said that shatnez may not come upon you, Hava Amina Kol Derech Ha'ala Aser. I'm Aser Rachman. I would have thought that any manner of having this clothing on top of you would be Aser. Va'afilu Mochri Ksus. Even those who go ahead and sell clothing. I will say, now what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Mochrei ksus, shein miskavnin l'hanos chimum. So I will say, again, remember, there is no problem doing business with shatnez clothing. I could operate the shatnez, you know, shatnez brand, right? I could sell shatnez clothing. Now, one of the ways that merchants used to sell their wares was how? They would model it. They would, you know, not davka put on, but wear it so people would see it. So I might have thought that lamaisa, again, so mochrik, so somebody's wearing clothing, wouldn't be able to go ahead and wear his shatnez clothing. Therefore, kasev rachmana lo silbash shatnez. Because I will say, remember, from the phrase of beged shatnez, beged kilayim shatnez, lo ya'ale alecha sounds like, well, bless you, that you can't even wear it over your shoulders, even if your intention is not to wear it or not to get benefit from it, just to model it. From that phrase, I would have thought that you can't even do that. Therefore, what does the pasuk say? Kazav rachmana lo silbash shatnez. Therefore, the Torah dafka says you may not wear shatnez. Dumya de levisha de isbehana. The Torah only prohibits what Rabosai? Only prohibits an act of wearing from which there is benefit, i.e., an act of wearing for real clothing purposes. But if you're just wearing it to go ahead and model the clothing so that customers will come and buy it, lemaisa, that's not a problem. Vi'i chasav rachmana lo silbash. And had the Torah just said, lo silbash shatnez, don't wear shatnez, and it would not have said the phrase of beged kilayim shatnez no ya'ale alecha, hava amina davka in levisha de nafesh shiniyasa. I might have thought that the prohibition of shatnez only applies to what? Only applies to dafka fully wearing the garment. Aval ha'alo'alo. But Rabbi said, let's say I'm not going to fully wear it. I just want to wrap myself in it. I might have thought that that is not asr. Chazav rachmana lo ya'ale alecha. The pasuk says, therefore, shatnez may not even come upon you. So both say, just in the interest of an hilchos shatnez, what comes out is, apparently the Gemara says that the merchant is permitted to put the clothing over him to show, to hack his wares, because that's not called an act of levisha. But when it comes to the actual wearing of shatnez, if your intention is to wear the article of clothing, whether you actively fully put it on or you wrap yourself in it, if you are getting some type of clothing benefit from shatnez, that is the prohibition. If we will say, what comes out? What comes out for our purposes is, there is no extra phrase here. Both the phrase of veget kilayim shatnez lo ya'ale alecha, as well as the phrase lo silbash shatnez, are both what? Are both necessary to teach me relevant halachas. Im kain, lichtov rachmana lo silbash shatnez, tsemer ufishtim lamali. To which the Gemara says, okay, but there's still an extraneous piece in the pasuk. What's the extraneous piece? Let the Torah just say, don't wear shatnez. Why does it have to say tsemer ufishtim? Why does it have to say wool and linen? So the Gemara says, Mechti, kasev ubeged kilayim shatnez lo ya'ale alecha. So the Torah says that a beged of kilayim, a beged of forbidden mixture of shatnez, shall not come upon you. Vitana debei Rabbi Yishmael. And yet we learned in the yeshiva Rabbi Yishmael, hoil v'ne'emru b'torah, stam begadim, uparat lecha kasev be'echa mehem semer ufishtim, af called semer ufishtim. Supposed to listen to this. It's actually very interesting. So Rabbi Shmuel says the following. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, "Tain de Rabbi Shmuel, the alfinon aliba alibei kilayim b'tzitzis midmiyaser tsemer ufishtim lemichsmei l'gdim tazelach." Skip things. Rashi actually, "Tain with the kasev rachmana kol begadim tsemer ufishtim heim veheim bigdehem b'tzitzis mashram bein shal tsemer bein shal pishon rachmana avit chel tsemer pishon." Supposed to listen to this. So Rabbi Shmuel says the following: that whenever the Torah says big beged, so the Torah says beged, except in one place, which we'll actually see, by the big day kahuna, we'll see. The Torah discusses that beged means tsemer ufishtim, that beged means wool and linen. Therefore, the Be'er Bishmael say that whenever the Torah uses the word beged in an unqualified fashion, beged always means what? Tsemer ufishtim. So we'll say, if that's the case, af called semer ufishtim. So we'll say, so therefore, any time the Torah says the word beged and it's not qualified, it always means wool and linen. If that's the case, Rabbi say, now we have a repetitive phrase in the parasha of tzitzis. Because what does it say by tzitzis? It says, lo silba shatnez semer ufishtim yachdov. Right? So now, once I already have beged in the context of shatnez, then why is there a need to go ahead and repeat tsemer ufishtim? Because remember again, if we've established that stam beged always means tsemer ufishtim, so why the need to go ahead and explicitly articulate that? Tsemer ufishtim, the kasev rachmana lamali, shmamin ala afnuye. Rabbi said, remember what we're looking for over here? We're looking for an extra phrase. Because remember, what does an extra phrase allow us to do? An extra phrase allows us to darshan smuchin. Because again, remember, just keep your eye on the ball over here. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying, this all goes back to tzitzis. All of that we're trying to go ahead and establish that tzitzis is the paradigm for darshaning smuchin, for darshaning juxtaposed psukim, which then gives us the idea of asei dachi lo saasei. So all the Gemara, but again, in order to darshan smuchin, or one of the ways in which you could darshan smuchin is how, is if lamaisa you could show that, because remember again, even Rabbi Huda doesn't darshan smuchin in other places. We'll darshan smuchin in Devarim. Why? Because Rabbi Huda will go ahead, because Rabbi Huda will say that there are extra psukim in Devarim. Well, that only works if you could prove what? That there are actually extra psukim in Devarim. Now what we're trying to say is Semer Ufishtim itself is extra. So Semer Ufishtim, the Kasev Rachman Alamli, why does the Torah insert that extra phrase of Semer Ufishtim? Shmamin ala afnuye. Because again, it's in order to open up that phrase for exposition, right? For going ahead, to go ahead and darshan that phrase. Vakati itzrich. No, I still need that phrase. I'll tell you why. Sakadai tchamina ha'alo hidalo nafesh hana asa avalavisha de nafesh hani asa ko triye mine asirachmana. Oh, let's listen to this. I'll tell you why I need semer ufishtim. I might have thought about saying that when is semer ufishtim asir, that's only true in Ha'ala. I mean, I will say that there are two different types of shatnez. There's shatnez for Ha'ala and shatness for levisha. Shatness for halal means I wrap myself in the garment. I don't fully put on the garment. I get some benefit by putting it on myself, wrapping around myself. That prohibition only applies to wool and linen. But when you actually wear the garment, where there is a much greater level of hana'ah, maybe that prohibition of forbidden mixtures applies to what? Any two items. Maybe that shatness, so to speak, applies to any two dissimilar materials that are used to go ahead and make a baguette. To which the Gemara says, Kasav Rachmana, Tzemer Ufishtim. Therefore, the Torah must add in an additional Tzemer Ufishtim. For what purpose? To teach you that the prohibition of shatness only applies to what? Only applies to wool and linen, and not to any other two, not to any other two fabrics. Imkain, Lishto Kramine, Vitesi shatness mihalo. If that's the case, Lemaisa again, don't say anything. And I could have just made the gzir shav of shatness from the first pasuk of ha'ala. There was, I would have said, just like it says, beged shatness lo ya'ala alecha. And that refers to, again, the aliyah, the ya'ala refers to tzemer of fishnim. I would, I'm sorry? Oh, because that's what pasuk says. The pasuk says tzemer of fishnim. Remember, there's an extra, because remember, there are two pasukim. The pasuk says, right, the one in Dvarim says Semer Ufishtim. So because already we know that one of them is Semer Ufishtim, all you need is it by one. Once you have one time that it says Semer Ufishtim by Shatnez, I know that the other pasuk then in Vayikra, which also says Shatnez, is also Semer Ufishtim. The point is, I don't need it. So the Gemara says, and also, I'll take it even further. The truth is, you don't even need it to say, because once you have Beged written by Shatnez, and Beged means Semer Ufishtim, once I have one Beged by Shatnez and that's Semer Ufishtim, that tells that every time Torah speaks out shatnez, it's always semer ufishtim. So therefore, what the Gemara is suggesting is there still is an extra semer ufishtim. The time of the Yishmael, so in the Yeshiva Rabbi Yishmael, they said time of the cause of Rachmana semer ufishtim. The reason is because the Torah added in this additional semer ufishtim. Ha lav hachi. So based on what we've learned, the reason we can darshan the smuch in the juxtaposition of shatnez to tzitzis, and to tell me that what? That tzitzis can be made of shatnez is because there's an extra phrase of tzemer ufishtim by tzitzis. That extra phrase tells me that I'm supposed to darshan the juxtaposition of these two psukim to teach me that tzitzis can be shatnez. Were it not for this extra phrase, then what? Then I would have said that lemaisa, you cannot make tzitzis out of shatnez. You cannot make tzitzis out of shatnez. But is that true? V'haksi, but the pasuk says, v'asu lohem tzitzis, al kanfei vigdehem. The Torah says, you shall go to make for them tzitzis on what? On the corners of their garments. I will say, watch this. V'tana di Rabbi Shmuel, kol begadim, tzemer ufishtim heim. And I will say, remember, what's the basic halachic definition of a baguette? Right? Tzemer ufishtim, wool and linen. And I will say, again, lav davka has to be wool and linen, could be wool or linen. V'amar achmana, Ovid le tchilas. Well, say, watch this. So here's what we know. So the beged itself is wool or linen. That's what a beged means. And what does the Torah say? The Torah tells me that what do I have to do on the corners of my tzitzis? I have to put tchilas. I need tchilas on the corners of my tzitzis. Utchilas amrahu. Well, say, what is tchilas made from? Right? Tchilas is dyed wool. Dyed wool. So this is, well, says, what do you see from there? What do you see from there? So now watch this. So beged means either a wool or linen garment. So let's just say for a moment that means it could be linen. And tchilas is what? Tchilas is what? Dyed wool. So now I have a linen garment and wool tzitzis. We call that shatnez. Right? So we'll say, so therefore, Tani Dei Rishon says, I don't understand. You make it sound like the ability to make tzitzis out of shatnez is based on our ability to darshan smuchin, to darshan the juxtaposition of these psukim in Devarim. Why is the ability to make tzitzis out of shatnez based on that? I could say even better. The ability to make tzitzis out of shatnez is rooted in the very pasuk itself. Torah calls the beged of the tzitzis a beged, which means it could be wool or linen. Torah says that tzitzis have to have tcheles. Tcheles is dyed wool, which by definition gives the pasuk itself gives you the ability to make tzitzis out of shatnez. To which you might say, whoa, 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 umimai. Tchilas amru. How do you know? So all tchilas I know is blue dye. How do you know that it's dafka wool? How do you know it's dafka wool? To which means I'll tell you why. Dafka mid the sheish kisna tchilas amra. The fact that sheish is linen, kisna is linen. Tchilas therefore by definition is wool. So we'll also listen to this. So the Gemara says, if you look at Rashi, I'm sorry. So they're also there for the Gemara, look at Rashi, I'm sorry. Tchilas Amra. Midesheish kisna dechsev michnes sebad sheish mashazar ubad hainu fishtu. So also, without going through all of this, what the Gemara suggests over here is this is all learned out from the begeldim of the Kohen Gadol. All of that from the begeldim of the Kohen Gadol. So we'll say again, in the context of the Big Day Kahuna, here's what we know. Sheish, what Torah sees out, Sheish by the Big Day Kahuna, that's linen. And Tchilas, we know by the Big Day Kahuna, is what? Is wool. Dyed wool, but wool nevertheless. Therefore, again, the Gemara says, Tanya Rebbe Shlomo says, there's no reason to assume that the Tchilas mentioned by Tzitzis is any different than the Tchilas mentioned by Big Day Kahuna. If by Big Day Kahuna it's wool, so too by Tzitzis is going to be wool as well. To which the Gemara says, it's drich. To which the Gemara says, the truth is, we still need to dash in the smuchin. Why? So we'll say, now remember again, so basically this is very interesting because based on what we just learned, Lemaisa, one could make the argument that even without darshaning smuchin, who cares? Forget about smuchin for now, right? I could say that tzitzis can be made out of shan is just from the mitzvah of tzitzis itself. To which the Gemara says, no, you still need to darshan smuchin. I'll tell you why. It's drich. Sakadai tchamine kidirava. The amarava. Well, so you know what, actually, let's start this. The Amar Rava, Rava will say, this is actually really interesting and actually exceptionally halacha lemaisa. Rava says, Rami Ksiv, good contrast of psukim. On one hand, it says, Hakanav min knaf. Actually, you know what, we'll say, we're going to stop over here. We'll have time to do it tomorrow. And the truth is, I don't want to rush. Tomorrow morning is 8:15. 8:15 Amir Tashem in the Sukkah. Tomorrow morning is active. Someone is going to. No, I give a shoe in the afternoon. I just want to leave everybody on the same page with this. So again, remember, what we're up to now, just so we're all clear. So remember again, we're trying to figure out the idea that were it not for the Gezeirah Shavah from Yibum, I would have thought that you could do Yibum with an Erva. Why is that? Because an Aseh could be Docha Lo Saseh. Where do we learn out Aseh Docha Lo Saseh? The Gemara is suggesting from Tzitzis. But to learn out from Tzitzis, that requires you to darshan smuchin, but that's okay because even Rabbi Yehuda, who doesn't normally darshan smuchin where? In Chumash Tevarim. Now that we've established that, the Gemara says, takes a step back and says, whoa, 1 second. You're making it sound like the only way that Tzitzis could go ahead and be shatnis is if you darshan smuchin, to which Tanya Rabbi Shmuel suggested that not true. Even from the drush of Tzitzis itself, you could see that Tzitzis could be shatnis from the fact that the beged itself is either tzemer Fishtim, the tcheles is wool. By definition, that tells you that it could be shatnez. To which now the Gemara is going to say, no, you're still going to need the drasha of smuchin, the juxtaposition to shatnez, to teach you another important halacha, which Amir Tashem will get to tomorrow. Okay, now we're finished.